B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Nun Dalet. We're going to start from the very top of the Omud. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis Omud Beis that the Rechelois, which are the female sheep, also known as ewes, are allowed to go out on Shabbos to Rosh Hashanah, either Shchuzois, and we learnt on Daf Nun Gimel Omud Beis at the bottom what Shchuzois means, Kvulois uKvunois. They're also allowed to go out Kovul and also Kvunois. And we're going to see now in the Gemara what that means. Says the Gemara, Harachelim yoitzois kvulois. Says the Gemara, my kvulois. What does kvulois mean? Says the Gemara, shemechablin al yoshelohen lemata. That one ties their tails downwards, kedei shelo yalu alein azachorim, when their tails are covering the whole back part of their bodies, then that way the zachorim, the male sheep, will not climb on top of them. My mashma dahai kovul lishna deloy ovid peri, asks the Gemara. It's true that kovul, the translation of the word kovul, is tied. Who told you that it means that they tie the tails down so that the zachorim should not climb on top of them? Maybe it means that they would tie the tails up in order that the zachorim should climb on top of them. If the zachorim climb on top of them, there's a good chance that they're going to bear children. If they do not climb on top of them, then they will not bear children. So the Gemara is asking, why are you assuming that the tails are tied in a way that these female sheep should not bear children? Maybe it's that they should. My mashma dahai kovul lishna deloy ovid peri. What tells you that the tying in our Mishnah is referring to a type of tying that will cause them not to bear fruits, not to have children? Hu dechsiv? It's because it says in the pasuk, or based on the pasuk, me haorim ho'ele ashanosa toli ochi vayikro lohem eretz kovul ad hayoim hazeh. This is referring to the cities that Shlomo HaMelech gave to Hiram, and Hiram complained and he said that the lands that you gave me, the cities that you gave me, they are called Eretz Kovul. They are tied, says the Gemara. What does that mean? My Eretz Kovul, what was tied about those lands? Omer Vuna, Shehoyu bo bnei Odom shekvulin bekesef ubezov. There are people that were surrounded, that were tied with lots of gold and silver. So you see that kvulim is tied. We don't yet know why this level of tying is something that makes them inactive, makes them not bear fruit. So the Gemara continues, Oma le rova, ihochi hainu dechsiv lo yashru be'enov. The pasuk before that says that Hiram was not happy with these towns that Shlomo HaMelech gave him. That means it seems clear that Eretz Kovul is a restraint, it's something that wasn't good. So Rav is asking Rav Huna, you're saying that they were tied with lots of gold and silver. Why is that reason for disappointment? Says the Gemara, Omar Le'in, he said to him, yes. Rav Huna explained, Kiven de Atiri, since they were very wealthy people, umfunki, and they were very spoilt, loy of the avedus, so they were not working, they were not bringing any taxes to the king. So Hiram was not happy with the fact that Shlomo gave him those cities, that they had so much money that they were not working and not bringing in any taxes to the king's coffers. So here too, when it says kvulois, it means kvulois, and they're not doing anything, they're not bringing any fruit forward. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Omar, Eretz Chumtin Hoysa. These lands that Shlomo gave to Hiram, which is why, and why the reason that Hiram was not happy with them, was that they were very salty pieces of land. Vamai korle kovul. Why are they called kovul? It has nothing to do with being tied. It just means they were salty, and it's true that salty land does not bear fruit. But why is it called kovul? Why is it called tied? Says the Gemara, de mistargo beikaro ad kavlo, because the land was so brittle and dusty that people would sink into it until their ankles. And that's why it's called kavlo. Kovul is the same word used for a person's ankle. V'omri inche aro mechablo dele of de pera. And people were saying that this is a land which is mechable, which means it allows the foot to sink in till the ankle, the le'ov de pera, that does not produce any fruit. And here too, kovul, in our Mishnah, referring to these animals, they are tied in a way that they would not bear fruit, And it means that their tails were tied down and not tied up. Continues the Gemara. Kvunois. These ewes were allowed to go out when they were kvunois. Ask the Gemara, my kvunois. What's the word kvunois mean? Shemechabnin oisoi lemelas. Mechabnin means that they would tie a piece of material, a piece of leather, underneath the stomachs of these newly born animals, these sheep, in order to keep their very clean, and so far they've not become dirty, they've just been born, to keep the wool very, very clean in order to be able to use the wool, lemelas, for expensive woolen garments. So that's what kvuna is. Kvuna is means these animals that still have this cover under their stomachs to keep the wool clean. Kedetnan, like we saw in the Mishnah, se'es, regarding tzaras, one of the white colors that make a spot on a person be called tzaras, is if it's called se'es, that's a pasuk in the Torah, and se'es, says the Mishnah, is ketzemer lovon, it's white like white wool. My tzemer lovon, what type of white wool are we talking about? Omer of Bivi Barabaya, ketzemer noki ben yoimoi, like the clean wool of a newborn sheep, shemechabnin oisoi, that they coat it, they cover it over with this protective material, lemelas, to be used for expensive white and clean woolen garments. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, we've already discussed this a little bit, that the goats are allowed to go out, according to the Tanakhama, they can go out when their udders have a pouch on them. That tsuros means that they are held up. And Rabbi Yossi says that all the things mentioned in the Mishnah are osir, besides for achelim hakvunois. And Rabbi Yehuda says that the tzuros, that it depends for what reason the udders of these goats were tied up. If it was liyabesh, in order to dry them out, then the goats are allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. If it was in order to protect and collect the milk coming out of them, then it's osur. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Rav Omar halocha Rabbi Yehuda. Rav says that the halocha is like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who says that the izim are allowed to go out tsuros liyabesh, but not lecholov. Or Shmuel Omar alocha Rabbi Yosi. Shmuel says the alocha is like Rabbi Yosi, that they are not allowed to go out at all. The goats are not allowed to go out tsuros. Ve'ikad demasni lahor shmaita. Some say that this machlekas between Rav and Shmuel regarding the alocha wasn't said directly on the Mishnah. It was said ve'ikad demasni lahor shmaita ba'apinafshe. Some said it that it was an independent discussion. Rav Omar liyabesh muta v'loy lecholov. Rav says that the halacha is that if they are tsuros, if they are have the pouch on in order to dry them out, it's muta. But if it's in order to protect or collect the milk, then it's osa. And it's the same as we said before. It's like Rabbi Yehuda. Just he didn't say halacha Rabbi Yehuda. He just said this is the halacha. The halacha is liyabesh muta v'loy lecholov. Shmuel Omar echod ze ve'echod ze osur. This is like Rabbi Yosi before, but Shmuel says that they are both osa. Ve'ikadamasni lo'aha. And some say that it was said in yet another context, but with the same consequence. Izim yoytzos tsuros liyabesh avaloy lecholov. The Tanakhama says that goats are allowed to go out tsuros liyabesh avaloy lecholov. This was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira omru, kach halocha. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said that that's the halocha. It's true that technically speaking and strictly speaking, if it's liyabesh, it should be muta, and if it's lecholov, it should be osa. Avol mi meifis, who's going to draw lots? Who's going to tell people, eze liyabesh, eze lecholov? People are not going to know why the pouch is on the udders of these goats. They're just going to see that you're taking these goats that have tsuros, that have these pouches on, they're going to see that you're taking them out on Shabbos. Umitek she'ein makirin echod ze ve'echod ze osur. And since people won't know the difference and they'll come to be meikel and say that it's always mutar, therefore the halacha is that it's always osur. Omar Shmuel v'omre lo omer of Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Either Shmuel said or it was said in the name of Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who said that halacha lemaisa, it's osur. And this is like Shmuel said before, that halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, who says that it's osur. And Tosfos asks, why did Shmuel say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and didn't say the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? They both say the same, that it's always also to go out with these pouches. And Tosfos explains that Rabbi Yossi said it's always also to go out with these pouches, no explanations necessary. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira explained that the reason that you're not allowed to go out, even liyabish, is because people may not know that it's liyabish. They might think that it's lecholov. But Tosfos says in a place where they never ever put a pouch on lecholov in order to protect or to save the milk, in those places when it was always liyabish, then it would be muta. Not like Rabbi Yossi, who says it would always be osa. Continues the Gemara, ki osa Ravin, omer Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, a third opinion, not like Rav, not like Shmuel, rather halacha k'tanakama. The halacha is like the Tanakama in our Mishnah that holds that even if it's lecholov, the izim are always allowed to go out with the pouches on their udders. Continues the next Mishnah. Ubameh eino yoitza. With what is an animal not allowed to go out on Shabbos? We've seen in the Mishnayos till now with what animals are allowed to go out. Now we're going to discuss with what they are not allowed to go out. Says the Gemara, lo yetze gomol b'metulteles. A camel is not allowed to go out with a metulteles. And Rashi has three different explanations here. The first one being a type of strap under its tail. The second one being a saddle cloth, a mardas. And later on, Rashi's got a third explanation. It's talking about a type of little pillow or cushion they would put under the tail in order that the strap of the camel should, when the camel is going downhill and the saddle on top of it is pulling away from the tail, that the strap should not destroy and hurt its tail, they would put a cushion there. And a camel is not allowed to go out with this metulteles. And Rashi explains that the reason is because it might fall down, whatever this metulteles is, it may fall down, and the owner is going to pick it up and is going to carry it in Roshos HaRabim on Shabbos, and that's osa. And in order to avoid that, we do not allow the animal, the gomel, to go out with this metulteles. And it seems in Rashi that all the other cases that we're about to mention in the Mishnah are all for the same reason. The reason the animal's not allowed to go out with them is because we are afraid that it's going to fall down and the owners will pick it up and go with it Roshos HaRabim. Continues the Mishnah, Loi okud, a camel is not allowed to go out okud, we'll see in the Gemara what that means. V'loi rogul, nor is it allowed to go out rogul, we'll see in the Gemara what that means. V'chein shar kol habehemos, and so too all other animals are not allowed to go out okud or rogul. Continues the Mishnah, lo yikshir gemalim ze beze, you're not allowed to tie one camel to the next, the first one to the second one to the third one, etc. V'yimshoich, and to pull the first camel, thereby pulling all the camels. Aval machnis chavolim l'toich yodei v'yimshoich, he's allowed to take all the leashes of all the camels and put them in, hold them in his hand and lead them that way. Ubilvad shelo yikroich, but he's not allowed to turn the leashes around, he's not allowed to turn them round his hand. And we'll see in the Gemara what the issue should be. Why should you not be able to curl up these leashes round his hand? Says the Gemara, Tona lo yotzo hagomol b'metulteles akshuro lo biznovoi. We learnt in the Braisa that this metulteles is not allowed to go out if it's tied just to its tail. Aval yetzahu b'metulteles akshuro biznovoi ubechoit rosoi. But if this metulteles, whatever it is connected not only to its tail but also to its hump, we all know that camels typically have a hump on their backs. If it's tied to the hump as well, then this metulteles will not be able to fall down, and therefore it's mutter to go out with it on Shabbos. Omar Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, yoitza gomol b'metulteles hakshura lo b'shilyoso, that a camel is allowed to go out if this metulteles is attached to its shilyo, to a placenta, because since it would hurt it if it would pull loose from it, therefore we assume that the camel will not pull loose from it, and therefore it will not fall down, and there's no risk of the owners carrying it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Loi okud v'loi rogul. We saw that a camel or any other animal is not allowed to go out if its foot is tied, either okud or if it's tied rogul. And There's a discussion in the Rishonim why this is Asa, and many assume that what Rashi said in the Mishnah, that the reason that it's Asa to go out with the Mutulteles is because it might fall, applies to these cases as well, that the strap which is tying the camel may fall down and the owner will come to carry it. Others say that since it's discomfort for the animal, it's called a masu, it's called a burden, and therefore he's not allowed to carry it, but Rashi does not mention that here. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is now going to explain what is Okud and then what is Rogil. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Okud Akedas Yad Varegil. When you tie together a hand and a foot, the hands being typically the forefeet and the feet being the back feet, you're not allowed to tie together the right hand with the right foot, the left hand with the left foot. That's called Okud, and the camel is not allowed to go out, or any other animal may not go out when it's tied like that. And as we said, it's because we're afraid that this strap is going to fall down and the owner will pick it up. And the Gemara says this Okud is similar to Akedas Yitzchok, Ke Yitzchok ben Avram, like when Avram put Yitzchok on the Akedah, he tied him in a situation that was called Okud, and that was a hand with a foot, a hand with a foot. Rogul, what does Rogul mean? Shaloy Yochuf Yodoy al Gabizroy Oy Vayikshir, that this is talking about that they would typically tie up the lower part of the foot till the joint up to the upper part of the foot. And that way, for all intents and purposes, it's as if the camel is walking on 3 feet. And that way, the camel will not be able to run away. Or for whatever other reason, it's not allowed to go out when it's rogul, when it's tied this way. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda explained the Okud and the rogul. Says the Gemara Meisvei, there's a braisa that seems to explain Okud v'Rogul different to Rabbi Yehuda. Okud is shtei yodaim v'shtei raglaim. The braisa says that Okud means that the two hands were tied together and the 2 feet were tied together, not a hand and a foot and a hand and a foot. Rogul shela yochuf yode al gabez roye v'yikshir. The rogul is the same as Rabbi Yehuda said, that you shouldn't tie the lower part of the foot to the upper part of the foot. Says the Gemara, Hu de Omar ki haitana. It's true that this braisa seems to contradict Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda is following a different braisa, the Tanya, Okud akidas yad v'regel, that Okud is Okud yad v'regel, a hand and a foot, like Rabbi Yehuda said. Oy shtei yodayim shtei raglayim. This braisa adds on that the 2 hands and 2 feet being tied together is also called Okud. And Rogul shalayochuf yod el gabazroi v'yikshir, that's the same across the board. Asks the Gemara Vakati Loidomi, this Braisa and Rabbi Yehuda are still not saying the same thing. Bishlei Mereisha, the first thing that the Braisa says about Okud, which is Yad Varegel, that works, that's the same as what Rabbi Yehuda says. Vaseifa and the Rogul is also like Rabbi Yehuda. Nicha, that's all good. Metziosa, Kashya. But the Braisa adds on that there's another explanation to Okud, which is Shtei Yodayim, Shtei Raglayim, and Rabbi Yehuda does not say that. Elo hu de omar ki haitana. Rabbi Yehuda is following a third braisa. Okud akidas yod v'regel ki yitzchok ben Avram. Rogul shelo yochuf yodoy al gabe zroye v'yikshir. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. We have a braisa supporting his opinion. Says the Gemara Vayta. V'lo yikshir gemalim. One should not tie camels one to the other in a row and take them in the street that way. My tama, says the Gemara, why should that be also? What's he doing? Omer of Ashi, Mishum de Merze, command de Ozil Lechinga, it looks, it's similar to taking out this whole group of camels to the marketplace. And since you're not allowed to go to the marketplace on Shabbos, then you're not allowed to go out in a way that it gives the impression that you're going to a marketplace. The word chinga is actually something circular, and it was typical for people who go to the marketplace to circulate and go round in the marketplace, and that's why the market is called chinga. Continues the Gemara. Aval machnis v'chulu, it's supposed to say. And this is going back on the Mishnah, Machnis Chavolim L'teich Yodei V'Yimshech, he's allowed to hold the leashes of all the camels independently. It means he can hold them all together, but they should not be tied one to each other. U'bilvad Shelo Yikrech, but he should not put the leashes around his hand. He should not wrap the leashes around his hand, and let's see in the Gemara why. Omer Ravashi, Lo yishonu elo l'inyun kilayim. The reason that you're not allowed to wrap the leashes around your hand is nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos, it's to do with the halachas of kilayim. We know there's many different types of kilayim. Kilayim is when two things are incompatible. For example, there's a halacha that two animals are not allowed to plow together in one field or in one yoke. There's another halacha that wool and linen are not allowed to be sewn together. It's also called kilayim. There are certain vegetation that not allowed to be plowed, not allowed to be sown, not allowed to be planted together. That's also called kilayim. What kilayim can we talking about? Can we be talking about here? Ask the Gemara, kilayim demai. What kilayim are we talking about here? He's taking a whole bunch of camels, he's holding all the leashes together. Why should wrapping the leashes around his hand have anything to do with kilayim? Says the Gemara, ilei mekilayim da'odom, maybe in the same way as a shoyer and a chamoyer, two animals are not allowed to plow a field together, it could be that the very fact that if he wraps the leashes around his hand, it's as if he is tied to the camel. And then it's as if the camel and the person are tied together whilst they're walking. Maybe that's a form of kilayim, says the Gemara Botnan. We learned in the Mishnah, Odom Mutarim Kulam. A person is allowed to do anything. There is no kilayim with a person and an animal. There's only ever kilayim with two animals together. Lachroish Velimshoich. A person is allowed to plow together with, in the same plow as an animal. He's allowed to pull. For if he's pulling something together with an animal, that's completely mutter. So why over here should it be osa to wrap the leashes around if there's no issue of kilayim? Even if he's tied to the camels, there's no issa. Elo kilayim de chavolim. We're talking about that some of these leashes are made of wool. Others are made of linen. So if you hold them all independently, there's no issa to hold wool and linen in your hand together. But as soon as you wrap them around your hand, it's as if you've tied together the wool and the linen, the two straps, and that's an issa of kilayim. And it's important that we distinguish here, kilayim, for kilayim to be osa, there's two conditions. Number one, the wool and the linen have to actually be tied together, have to be sewn together on some level. Number two, even if you have kilayim, that doesn't yet mean you've done an avera. You've only done an avera when you benefit, when you get pleasure from the kilayim. If you donate, if you put a cloth of kilayim on yourself and it warms you up or it cools you down or whatever it's going to do, then that's having pleasure from kilayim. That's the issa. So it seems here, and it's clear here, and the Mefarshim explain this, wrapping the leash around your hand is probably the part which is the benefit you're having. It's warming up your hand with the leashes. And it seems that the way that you're holding the leashes is not only warming up your hand, but it's also creating the bond between the leashes and tying the leashes together, which is a type of sewing wool and linen together, which is a prerequisite for the issa of kilayim in the event that you have pleasure from it. So let's see the Gemara inside. Elo kilayim de chavolim. V'otani we learnt in the Braisa. Hatoikev tchifu achas eine chibur. Why are you saying that you're not allowed to wrap the leashes around your hand? Because you're having benefit from wool and linen together. It says clearly that when you connect wool and linen with just one connection, then it's not called a chibur, it's not called connected, and it doesn't have the issa of kilayim. And over here, the most that you're doing with these leashes is you're holding them together. The most is it would be compared to tchifo achas, to a single type of connection, and there's no kilayim on that. Says the Gemara, lo'olam kilayim dechalvolim. The truth is, it is kilayim dechavolim of the strips, the leashes, and I'll explain to you why there could be kilayim. V'hochi ko'omar, b'lvad shelo yikroich v'yikshur. We're talking about that you're wrapping the leashes around your hand after you've tied them together with a proper knot. Once you've tied them together with a proper knot, and then you wrap them around your hand, the tying them together makes it kilayim. Wrapping it around your hand gives you pleasure from the kilayim, and that's also. And that's why the Mishnah says that you're allowed to lead the camels with the leashes, but in the event that some of the leashes are wool and some are linen, and in the event that they are tied together with a knot, then you're not allowed to wrap them around your hand because you will be having pleasure from kilayim. Continues the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, ubilvad shelo yetze chevel mitachas yodoy tefach. You're allowed to lead the camels with the leash on condition that there's no tefach, which is approximately 10 centimeters beyond your hand where the leash is sticking out. Ask the Gemara about Tanah de Shmuel Tvachaim. Did the Braisa said in the Beis Medrash of Shmuel not say that you're allowed to take the leash unless there's two tefachim hanging, not just one tefach? Omar Abaya explained as follows. Hashta de Omar Shmuel tefach, v'tana de Bei Shmuel tefachim. Now that we see that there's one quote in the name of Shmuel and a different quote in the name of his Beis HaMedrash, I'll explain to you why they're not a contradiction. Shmuel halocha lemaisa osolo shminon. Even though technically speaking, one is allowed to go out if the leash is hanging down up to two tefachim. Halocha lemaisa, Shmuel was machmer in order not to come to go out with the leash being two tefachim beyond his hand. Shmuel said, make sure that there shouldn't even be one tefach just to stay safe. That's halocha lemaisa uda osa la'ashmi'inon. And the reason it's osa, even though it's all part of the leash belonging to the animal, and Be'etzem, the animal is carrying it, and it's muta, as we've discussed, is because since it's protruding beyond his hand, it doesn't look like this is part of the leash. It just looks as if he's carrying a string. So the discussion is, how much has to be sticking out of his hand that it should look like he's carrying a rope, and it doesn't look like it's part of the leash that's coming out of the collar of the animal? And that's what we said. Strictly speaking, it would be up to two tefachim, but to stay safe, Shmuel says, be machmir, even a tefach. Says the Gemara v'Otanya, ubilvad shiyagbia min akarka tefach. Did we not say that you're allowed to carry a leash, providing that it's at least a tefach off the ground, and that's much more than a tefach or two tefachim beyond his hand? Says the Gemara, Kitanya hi, that Bryce is talking about, Bechavlo de Beina Beina. It's talking about if the leash is coming out from the camel's neck, from the collar, and it's hanging down in a loop, and before the, that means there's enough rope that the owner is holding the strip, he's holding the leash, and the leash between the hands of the owner and the camel is so long that it's drooped right down. So the Braisa says that providing that it's at least a tefach off the ground, then everybody can see that this is a leash that you're pulling, and you're pulling the camel with it. If it's right on the ground, it's not clear that you're carrying this leash as being the leash of the animal. It looks like you're just carrying the leash independently, and it doesn't look like you're doing it for the sake of the animal, and therefore it's osa on Shabbos. Continues the next Mishnah. Ein chamoyer yoytze b'maradas, a donkey is not allowed to go out with a saddle cloth, bizman she'eino kshuroloi, when it's not tied to it, and we've already discussed this on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. V'loi bezug, and it's not allowed to go out with a bell attached to its neck, afal pi shehu pokuk, even though the bell is blocked up and it's not going to make a noise, nonetheless one is not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. V'loi besulam shebetzavori, and not with any type of yoke or frame around its neck, and we'll see in the Gemara what this is. V'loi beretzua shebaragloi, and one's not allowed to go out with a strap or string attached to its legs. V'eina tarnagoylim yoitzim b'chutin, chickens, hens, tarnagoylim are not allowed to go out with strings, v'loi beretzua shebaragleim, nor with straps on their feet, and we're going to see all this in the Gemara. V'eina zechorim yoitzim ba'agolo shetachas ha'alyo, the rams, the male sheep, are not allowed to go out with a type of carriage or wagon underneath their tails. Ve'ina rochelim, and the female sheep, the ewes, are not allowed to go out, not yoitzes, are not allowed to go out. Chanunois, we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Ve'in ha'egel yoitze begimoin, a calf is not allowed to go out begimoin, we'll see in the Gemara. Ve'loi poro, nor is a cow allowed to go out bo'er hakupor, with the skin of a hedgehog attached to its udders. V'loi beretzua shebein karneo, nor with a strap between its horns. And the Gemara, and the Mishnah is now narrating that parose shebe Elazar ben Azariah hoisa yoitza beretzua, the cow of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah did go out with this strap shebein karneo between its horns. She'loi beretzoin chachomim, and it was against the desires of the chachomim. The chachomim were not okay with it. Says the Gemara, my tama, why is a donkey not allowed to go out with a maradas, with a saddle cloth that's not attached to it? Says the Gemara, k'da'omrinon, like we saw before on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, and it was discussed at length there, that was it tied, was it not tied on Shabbos, was it not tied on Erev Shabbos, and it was all discussed on Daf Nun Gimel, we can refer back there. Continues the Gemara, V'loy bezug afal pishu pokuk, one's not allowed to go out with a bell around the donkey's neck, even though it's blocked up and it's not going to make any sound. Says the Gemara, Mishum de merze commander ozil lechinga, it looks like you're going to the marketplace. And as we saw in Amud Aleph, since one's not allowed to go to a marketplace on Shabbos, then going out with a donkey in a fashion that will make people believe that you're going to the marketplace is osa. Continues the Gemara, V'loy besulam shebetzavore, one is not allowed to go out with a type of yoke or type of frame around its neck. Omer Puna be'lua. This is talking about a brace that was put on the cheeks of the animal and is not allowed to go out with it. L'may of delay, what's this frame made for? What's this brace for? L'hecha de'isle mako, if he's got a wound on his face, on his cheek, deloy hodar chayech bay, in order that the animal should not scratch it and aggravate the wound, they would put this brace over it, and one is not allowed to go out with this brace on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, v'loy b'rtzua shebaragloy, and nor is this animal allowed to go out, this donkey may not go out with a strap on its legs. Says the Gemara, de'ovdele legizra, and the reason they have these straps is in order to prevent the animal from injuring itself while it's walking. Continues the Gemara, ve'ena tarnegoilin yotzin b'chutin, the chickens are not allowed to go out with strings. Says the Gemara, de'ovdele simno ki heicha deloy lechalfei, they would put these strings on the chicken in order that the owners can discern and see, this is my chicken, and it should not get confused with anyone else's chicken. V'loy b'ratzua, says the Gemara, the chickens were not allowed to go out with a strap around their legs. Says the Gemara, de'ovdele kihecha deloy litberu moni, they would tie their feet together in order that they could not lift them too high, and thereby preventing them from smashing kelim, from smashing vessels, utensils, whatever's around in the chotza, to keep it all safe. Continues the Gemara, ve'ena zechorim yotzim ba'agala, the rams are not allowed to go out with this type of carriage under its tail. Says the Gemara, ki heicha deloy lechamton al yoso, the reason that they would make such a wagon or carriage under the tail to hold the tail is in order that the tail should not become bruised while it's walking. Continues the Gemara, ve'ena rechelim yotzis chanunis, the rechelim, the ewes, the female chicken, the female sheep are not allowed to go out chanunis. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Yosef, Rav Acha bar Ula, Kameder of Chizda, v'Yosef uka'oma. Rav Acha bar Ula was sitting in front of Rav Chizda. He was sitting and saying as follows: Mishor shegeizazin oisa, when they would shear the, from when they would shear the wool off these animals, toimnim loy ozok b'shemen, they would soak a woolen compress in oil. And they would put it on its forehead, because now after it's been shorn, it's missing its coat, it's missing its wool, it maybe will get a cold. In order to keep it warm, they would put this compress on the forehead of the sheep until the wool starts to regrow. And this compress, this is the chanunim. This type of conduct, this type of custom, was done for rich people like Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva was a rich and very prestigious person. He was an Av Beis Din. He would do this, but you're going to do that to every sheep? It doesn't make sense. Elo Yosef Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Kameder Rav Chizda v'Yosef uka'omar. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, when he was sitting in front of Rav Chizda, he explained that chanunim means something else. B'shor shekiras leled, when this animal is bending down, giving birth, toimnin lo shnei azokin shel shemen, they would hide, they would put into it, they would attach to it two of these compresses that had been soaked in oil, umanichin lo, and they would put achas al padachto, one on its forehead, ve'echod al arechem, and one on its womb, kedei shetizchamim, in order that it should be warmed up. And that's called chanunim. Omele Rav Nachman im keino siso yalto, this is what Rav Nachman did to his wife, Yalta, who was a very prestigious woman. and you're going to say that for every animal they would give it this type of service and this type of pleasure when it was giving birth. Rav Huna says there was a type of tree in the Kroch Ayom far away. The name of that tree was Chanun. And they would bring a wooden chip, a splinter, from that tree. And they would put it into the nose of these animals, Kadesha Tisatesh, in order to cause them to sneeze. And the worms in its head will then fall out. Yehochi asks the Gemara, Zuchorim Nami, why are you doing this just to the female sheep and not to the male sheep? They also supposedly would have worms in their heads, and one should cause them to sneeze in order they should fall out. Says the Gemara, Kivin de Menachi Zuchorim Behadodi, since the male typically they butt each other's heads with their horns, therefore when they're banging each other around, the worms would fall out on their own, and it does not need any outside intervention. Mamela Noflon, the worms fall out on their own. Shimon Nazira Omar, another explanation what this chanuna is. Kisma, it's a wooden chip, a splinter, derisma, from a tree called Risma. Says the Gemara, Bishleim de Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, that the tree was called chanun, hainu diktoni chanunois. That's why we understand that we call these wooden pieces chanunois. Elo le Rabbonon, but according to the Rabbonon, my chanunois, according to all the other explanations we had here, then why are they called chanunois? Answers the Gemara, Avdinon luhu milsa de merachminon alaihu, because the reason that they would do whatever they were doing, all the according to Ulla, according to Papa Bar Shmuel, and according to Rav Shimon Nazira, all these things were done as an act of showing pity and concern for the animal, and that's why it uses the word chanunois. Chanun is translated as mercy. Continues the Gemara, Ve'ein ho'egel yoitze begimoin. The calf is not allowed to go out with a gimoin. What's this gimoin? A gimoin is a type of hunchback. It should be hunched down. My egel begimoin. What is this egel begimoin? Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, bar nira. They would put a small yoke onto this calf in order to hunch it down a little bit, to get used to stretching its neck. Omar Belozo, my mashma dehai gimoin lishna demechaf. Why do you assume that the word gimoin comes from the term of being hunched? Dichsiv, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, halocha if ka'agmoin roishoy, are you going to hunch your head down like a agmoin, like a fish hook? So you see there that the agmoin is a hunch, is a type of a hunch. Continues the Gemara, V'loi poro bo'oira kupor, a cow is not allowed to go out with the skin of a hedgehog attached to its udders. Says the Gemara, the Ovdi law, the reason that they would put these pouches made of this skin, the spiky and sharp piece of material, onto the udders, is kihecha deloi lemetsuya yoli, in order that the insect or the animal called yoli should not suck from it. Continues the Gemara, v'loi beretzua shebein karneo, a cow may not go out with straps between its horns. And says the Gemara, and the Gemara is now referring back to a sugya that we learned previously, and this was learnt at length on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Ile Rav, according to Rav, bein lenoi, bein leshamir osur. According to Rav, it's irrespective of whether this strap was put between its horns just in order to make it beautiful as a decoration, or if it was there in order to control the animal. Ile Shmuel, according to Shmuel, it's only osur if it's lenoi osur, if it's put there to decorate the animal. Avel leshamir, if it's there to control and lead the animal. Muta, it's muta, and this was discussed at length on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Continues the Gemara, Paroso Shereb Elozo ben Azaria, etc. We saw in the Mishnah that the cow of Reb Elozo ben Azaria went out with the Ratzua between its horns. Shelo b'Ratzoin Chachomim, and the Chachomim were not happy about it. It was against the opinion of the Chachomim that said in the Mishnah that a cow is not allowed to go out with such a Ratzua. Asks the Gemara, V'chod Parah, have you law? It seems like Parosech Reb Elozo ben Azaria, the one and only cow of Reb Elozo ben Azaria. Did he only have one cow? V'omar Rav, V'omri lo Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Either Rav said, or it was said in the name of Rav, Treise Alpha Egle Hava. Maisa Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. There were 12,000 calves. That was just the Maisa. There was just 10% of the flocks of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Me'edrei from his flocks, kol shata v'shata every year. So you can imagine how many animals were born. 120,000 animals were born every year to his flock. What's this one parosei shel Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah? Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned that loy sheloy hoyso, this cow was not his. Elo shel shcheinoso hoyso, it was from his neighbor. So why is it called his cow? It says parosei shel Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. It wasn't even his cow. It was his neighbor's cow, says the Gemara, because he did not make a mecha, he did not rebuke them, he didn't stop them going against the halacha, nikras al shemoi, it's as if it was his cow that was going out against the halacha, and he will be held responsible for it on some level. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shiur, we'll learn the next sugya, which continues on this concept of a person needing to take responsibility for those people who he's got an influence on.